Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim Show. We are all about jobs today on the Walk the Talk with Kim Show, but we're not just going to talk about and whine about or be happy about jobs. We're going to talk about how the community is out there getting together and what individuals are doing in the community. There's some incredible, inspiring things that are going on, and we're going to talk about that today. And there is hope, and the hope is going to be within ourselves and within us and the ability to make changes. So we want to give that hope, and we want to talk about jobs here on the Walk the Talk with Kim Show as a community thing. But before we get there, there's a couple of announcements I wanted to remind folks about. Of course, the American Heart Association's Puget Sound Heart Walk is going to be this Saturday, the 15th, from 9 to 11 a.m. You can find more information on that on the Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page and at walkthetalkwithkim.com. We had the American Heart Association of Puget Sound on with us, I believe it was the week before last, talking about, no, it was last week, actually. We had some really great inspirational ladies talking about the importance of making sure you get to the doctor, get your heart checked, know your numbers, and they want to invite you to come out and support them and support the cause and to educate folks on the dangers of heart disease. I don't know if you remember this from last week, but it was a shocking statistic to me that more women die of heart disease than all cancers combined. And I think that's just something that we just don't think about when we talk about heart disease. So just remember and support the American Heart Association Puget Sound Heart Walk this Saturday, the 15th, from 9 to 11 a.m. Also wanted to let you know that our friends, Night on a Dark Trail, it is a haunted trail event, is coming to the Snoqualmie Valley on October 28th from 7 to 9 p.m. And you can go to nightonadarktrail.weebly.com. Proceeds of this event will go to support the local food bank in feeding our homeless and hungry in the Snoqualmie Valley. Should be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of really great spooky trails as it is, but we're going to add a whole new dimension to it, so it should be a lot of fun. And for more information on that, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com. You can also look at the archives, and we did a whole show talking with Mark Henning about what he's planning out there. So if you want to hear more, you can be reminded of that. And so with that, I know I'm rushing a little fast here, but that's because I've got two really wonderful guests today, and we have some more coming. I'm hoping that we're going to get a representative from Occupy Seattle calling in today to talk a little bit about what that organization is doing about jobs and how the movement is really, I think it was jobs that really got this group going. And hopefully it's going to be getting all of us going. But in the studio today, I have Christy Trione, a friend of the Walk the Talk with Kim Show. This is probably your third time on the show, I think. Is that right, Christy?
Well, I called in once.
You called in once.
Yeah, but
right.
I was here
one time
last year
before.
Talking about life dollars.
That's exactly right. And Christy and I have the best conversation, so I love having her on the show today. But we're going to be talking about jobs today. And she brought with her a gentleman by the name of Ryan Lewis. This is his first appearance on radio. Welcome, Ryan.
It is. Hello. Thank you.
And one of the reason why we're talking today is because the Snoqualmie Valley Community Network, of which Christy is the executive director of, as a community, we all got together and there was this movement. You can tell the story about how this all got started. But jobs, we need to talk about jobs, not only the politics around, you know, what we're doing nationally, because there's only so much we could do about that other than get your heart rate up. But what can we do locally about helping people find jobs, helping create a local economy and environment that will support jobs? And also where I kind of like to get involved is the psychology of what's happening in our communities and our societies around jobs and how we can help people kind of move through the trauma and also move through some of the other issues surrounding jobs to get upbeat and get ready and get out there. And so tell us a little bit about how the job fair. So there's a job fair coming. We talked about it on the radio last week. So tell us about the job fair and tell us kind of how it came about.
It grew out of a couple of conversations, beginning primarily with the Transition Snoqualmie Valley group that wanted to do an economic summit and met with some of the leaders in the valley, kicked around the idea of an economic summit. They said, that's not a very good idea. That sounds really boring. In fact, the administrator of Carnation said, you know, rather than getting one business with 100 jobs, we'd like to see maybe 10 businesses offering 5 jobs. So we kicked that, the steering committee kicked that around for a while, and it was at about the same time that the Family Policy Council was partnering with the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation to offer grants to all the networks to offer opportunities for youth between the ages of 16 to 18 who have some disability. It can be any disability, but they wanted to create opportunities within communities for those kids to get employed, volunteer opportunities, and get them working. So we weren't quite sure how that fit, but as we started kicking it around in the community, came up with this kind of hybridized job fair idea that what if we offered not just for that age group, but for the whole community, because it is a system-wide
right.
issue, and we are the help we've been waiting for. And the network really glommed onto it, partly because our concern is for the stress in the families and how that affects families, how that affects kids. And when adults are stressed, kids get neglected, and we see that in our community. You see, I don't have to tell you, you know. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like a great idea, and it's just kind of grown from there. And as people hear about, wow, you know, what are you doing as a community? That sounds like a great idea. And so we, from the beginning, because some of us had been reading David Corton's work, Agenda for a New Economy, he lives on Bainbridge Island, and decided, well, wouldn't it be really cool if we could get David Corton to come and be our keynote speaker? And lo and behold, he said yes. And we are just absolutely thrilled and hoping that nothing happens to get in the way of him showing up on the 5th, because his book is an incredible insight into how we can create a new economy and where we need to be going.
Doesn't it sound so hopeful?
It does.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It is. And that's partly why we hired Ryan, because we needed a media specialist, and he just kind of started showing up to transitions meetings and followed through and did great work and had a background in it. And
you mean he volunteered, he followed through and followed up?
And then he got a job.
And then he got a job. Like it.
Almost. I attended a meeting, and I think it was my first one. I just met Christy, and I mentioned for another agenda item that I'd done some business planning before, and then she goes, oh, this is in August. We have a job fair coming. I'm going to put you down for business planning. I said, no, I don't think I volunteered that job. So very quickly, I caught the spirit of what we're trying to do here.
I think I got the same message, but from Debbie Peterman. Yeah. It was kind of like, hey, by the way, I penciled you in, so make sure you're available on that day. Get Kim. Yeah. Kim's there, because I'm going to be doing a piece of this as well. And it's funny, I'm just looking, oh, you guys have me down to do that. That's good. I'll do that. That'll be fun. So my piece is kind of talking about the emotional toll and how to get yourself ready so that when you go to a job interview, you're not bringing this desperation and frustration and baggage and everything else to the job interview, which is so easy to do
it
unconsciously.
It really is.
It's being unemployed. I do work with some folks that are unemployed, and it is it's hard to kind of put in words just the load, the emotional load that is on an individual that's able-bodied. They're smart. There's no reason why they shouldn't be employed. There really isn't.
Right.
They just got the luck of the draw. It's not because they're inferior people. It's not because the world's against them. It just is. And it's really, really hard to for those folks to say, all right, let's, be an asset to an employer today when, they've got other things to worry about. But I digress. So we were talking about the job fair. It's on November 5th. You want to tell us a little more, and then we'll go to break and come back and talk about Mr. Colton.
It's on November 5th at Chief Canaan Middle School from 8:30 till 3:30. And we have four workshop sessions that are going on all day, pretty much, except we have David Corton speaking from 11 to 11:45. So we won't have any classes during that time. We have local vendors doing food. And
there's even going to be organizations out there that are hiring, aren't there?
Right.
Yeah.
There'll be employers. There'll be people that help people find work. There'll be people to help or services with people struggling financially right now.
A little bit of everything.
Some music.
Yeah, music. Yep. The kids wanted music. So at lunchtime, we've got a couple of groups that are local, kids that have performed at Gravity Fest up in North Bend last spring. So they're tested and true.
Yeah, you know, that heavy feeling that you were just saying or talking about with interviews and getting employed, I think the energy of this day will be a little bit lighter, looser feeling than your ordinary job fair.
It sounds like it when I'm looking at assess your talents and skills, where can they lead, online resource, panel discussions, creating jobs, face-to-face networking, agricultural opportunities. I mean, all of these things, it's just all really, really positive, which I wouldn't expect anything less from Christy because she is one of the most positive people I've ever met. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this awesome event. And also for people who don't know who David Corton is, I think that we should have a little explanation about him and why this is so critical that we're all discussing this today. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. And I regret that I did not welcome and thank our producer, Eric, and his genius as usual. Welcome, Eric. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm doing okay.
Where did you find that one now?
Online.
Who is that?
Wizco.
I never heard of them before.
They say they're unemployed, and yet they're a company, so I don't understand.
And they're happy.
Yes, they're very, they're happy, but I think that might be a little tongue-in-cheek. You know?
You think they're not really happy unemployed?
It's entirely possible, yeah.
I know the first day you become unemployed and you're able to get up in the morning and put on your bunny slippers is probably one of the more freeing moments, but that doesn't last very long.
It might be fun for a little while, but yeah, once you start running out of money, it's not as happy a situation anymore.
And it's not just money. People need a purpose.
Right.
Everyone, we need a purpose.
I happen to think you can find a purpose without being employed. You know, there's lots of great work that could be done by folks that are unemployed out there, you know, whether it's helping various charities or whether it's, you know, concentrating on your hobbies. But, you know, having a purpose is definitely a good thing. But, you know, once you run out of money, it's really hard.
We kind of need money. But that's kind of where Transition Still Call Me comes in because maybe not. Well, now we do. But hopefully maybe in the future. And that I was just reading a little bit about David Corton's work that, you know, his and I think, Christy, you and I have talked about this exact same thing before, that we're seeing this shift, or there could be a possible shift coming where we're really going to have to take care of ourselves from a community perspective.
Right.
Our economics.
Right.
Our self-sustainment, all of that kind of fun stuff.
Right.
And so I'm looking at this guy and he's pretty smart. PhD, MBA, economist.
He's thought about this for a long time. He's written about it for a long time. he was a co-founder of Yes Magazine. His wife is the executive director. And what was interesting is I called and talked to his the person who does his scheduling. Her name's Kat, amazing woman. We had a chat for about 45 minutes, and and I talked her into, you know, this, you know, it's more than just a fair, and it's more than just a local thing. This is going to be the next big thing. And at that time, we were calling it the Right Livelihood Job Fair. Well, in September, they came out with their issue that was all about new livelihoods, all about jobs.
Wonderful.
And so we've been spreading that September issue of Yes Magazine around because the message is hopeful. There are examples of people who have created their own jobs through creativity and ingenuity and community. And that's really the spirit of what we're trying to capture here.
Do you remember any examples off the top of your head? I'm putting you on the spot.
The front cover is a woman with her sleeves rolled up, her hands in the air, and I think the tagline is, you know, do it yourself. Economy.
You can do it. Yeah.
And that piece was about her family. Yeah, they both parents unemployed and started farming, or may have been farming. I can't remember, but
yeah. Riding their bicycle everywhere.
Yeah, downsizing.
Yeah, and then there was the guy with the soup trailer on his bicycle in Portland delivering soup to businesses. With his bicycle that,
wonderful.
You know, trailing soup. But lots of ideas, green technology, businesses. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we want to do is to have community conversations where there are new jobs created through this, that we're the help we've been waiting for.
If you believe that necessity is the mother of invention, it's only inevitable.
Right.
Right? Mm. I mean, like, you got a job out of this.
Yeah,
I did. I'm a walking example of what we're promoting. So
right.
It's pretty neat.
Well, and I think, you know, when you're talking about people who are unemployed, you know, and I've run into this where people identify themselves as I'm unemployed. Well, you're more than unemployed.
Right.
You have a ton of experience, no matter how old or how credentialed or, you know, what your station is in life. We have so much we can offer and share with our community.
Yeah.
And it's a horizontal, you know, approach to where our strengths are supporting our community. And that's what we have to draw upon. And we should be in hard times as well as not hard times. But we're at a point where we have to turn to each other.
Well, and I think that one of the stigmas of being unemployed is you don't want to tell people about it. You know, mm-hmm. You don't want people to know. You don't need your neighbors to know. I mean, some, you know, and I think that you do yourself a real disservice, especially for those that don't network easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's easy for me to say, hey, I can do this. How can I help you? That's just me. But there, not a lot of people are like that. So what I applaud about this effort is this: you're bringing together a bunch of resources for this one day. But it's not. You're bringing together a bunch of resources starting this day forward.
Right.
Because I think what I'm hoping to see is that people are going to come out of the woodwork. They're not going to be afraid. They're going to get the support that they need. And we in the community that can help are given an opportunity to help, because that really is, you know, you can't wait for Washington and the tax codes to figure it out.
Right.
You know, or to hope that somebody votes and you know, that you get your unemployment benefits extended. That's got to be a loss of power that would be crippling for an individual.
It is. Yeah, that's our hope, is that there are new jobs created, that there are new businesses created, that there are new relationships that provide opportunities for apprenticeships, experiences through volunteering, mentoring, so that everyone has an opportunity that connect to someone within their community that can be mutually supportive.
Mm-hmm. And so give us some of the details of the day. So it's going to be on Saturday, November 5th. How is somebody wants to participate, either presenting, mentoring, helping, volunteering, or coming?
Well, they can come to our website, which is newlivelihoods.net. It's a plural word, ends in an S, New Livelihoods. And if you'd like to attend, you can register. If you're looking to present, we have a number of presenters already. But there's a welcome letter and presentation link there, or presenter link there, where it's continually being posted right now. So if you want to see who our list of employers, and we also have panels for people who have done self-employment and others that are going to be there, you can check that site as well.
Did you say there were going to be vendors there?
There'll be two local food vendors. There'll be a continental breakfast in the morning for free, and an under $10 lunch. What else do we have?
And we have a snack in the afternoon. And then we're also planning a couple of conversations. We're looking at open space technology and possibly World Cafe, and those are more generating new ideas and looking at what are the resources we have within our community. Could we create new partnerships, collaborations, co-ops, mm-hmm. To just explore what's the art of the possible?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then as far as employers, there's going to be employers. So should people come with their resumes that day, or how are we going to handle
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah. Bring resumes, cards. There will also be opportunities there we'll have the computer labs. We'll have three computer labs. So one of the workshops is, create your own business card. So if you don't have that, you'll get help with that.
Yeah, and go home with them.
There's any graphic designers out there that want to come and help for the day,
It would be welcome. It would be welcome.
There you go. So you can come and help and help a fellow brother or sister make their business cards and get your name out there.
Yeah.
Helps your business.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What a great idea. I know that now that we're talking, just a couple of things. I know that the Snoqualmie Valley Senior Center is looking for an executive director, and the Snow Valley Senior Center in Carnation is looking for a program director, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So there's jobs out there.
There are jobs out there for people.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Wonderful. So again, that's www.newlivelihoods.net. I see that the Department of Social and Health Services, WorkSource, other organizations are a part of this. So you kind of started something here.
SCORE, Community Capital, Small Business Administration.
Now, SCORE is, for people that don't know, that resource. It's an awesome resource.
It is. I had not really heard about it, but they're business executives that will counsel for free. Well, he said not free. I mean, it's a no charge, but it's an amazing resource of experienced business people who can counsel people either starting a business or needing help with their small business. A great resource, and they'll be there.
You know, just to give an example of what SCORE's done, I used SCORE when I got started in my business. And one of the things that they have access to is all the Hoover information, all the Reuter information. So my sponsor could pull down information on all of the competitive information for my market. And all the demographic information for my market. So there's resources out there. It's just the marriage. It's the, that's just not happening. So this is going to be a really great event.
We think so. We're excited.
Yes, okay, so they go to www.newlivelihoods.net, and you can register for that. And is that where they go if they want to participate or volunteer as well?
All the registrations are there if you want to be an exhibitor or a presenter or attend. Mm-hmm. Or volunteer. We have a list of about almost, 40 hands on deck sort of jobs, setting up the registration tables, moving booths around.
Chairs and tables.
Yeah. So there's a sign up there for that as well.
Tell me a little bit, Christy, about Snoqualmie Valley Community Network. This is something that I didn't know. That Community Network is a larger organization, and they have branches, of which Snoqualmie Valley Community Network is one, correct?
Right. It's part of a statewide network under the Family Policy Council, and it was created by legislation in the early 90s, originally to deal with youth violence, but it's more than that. It's to help create caring, connected communities to prevent all of those problem behaviors. So that most of the communities broke out into counties, but Snoqualmie Valley thought we were unique from the rest of King County, which of course we are.
As we always have. You can look up Cedar County, so we were going to secede from King County at one point, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we're
wrong. That was a long time ago. Oh, boy. Right. And then there's a Transition Snoqualmie, of which you're a part of, too. We'll post all this information. It's a lot of information we're giving you. Mm. We'll post all this on our Facebook page as well as on the blog when we go ahead and post the show. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have Tim on the line with us. And we're going to talk about a different kind of movement. So there's a job fair going on, but then there's also this group of people hanging out in downtown Seattle. What's that all about? Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Occupy Seattle and Occupy Wall Street when we come back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
There's an exciting new Astrology Hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Arellano. And today we are talking about jobs, and we have on the line with us Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson's been on the Walk the Talk with Kim show before, and we were talking about, I believe at that time, about sustainability and things very similar to what Christy and I talk about, which these are the best conversations for me. But I wanted Tim to come on the air because Tim has been kind of front and center with the whole Occupy Seattle movement. And we've got him for a few minutes here, and I wanted kind of a voice that's there and living this and fighting the good fight. First of all, to say thank you on behalf of all the 99% people that are out there. Thank you. And then also to kind of hear from you. What's going on? What's the latest? I mean, for people that don't hear anything more than what we hear on the news, you know, I know a little bit more because I've been reading, but for other folks, we're getting this thing in the media that it's, you know, a protest, but we don't really know what exactly the protesters want. Can you tell us a little bit from your perspective, what's going on and What is this all about?
Yeah, that's a little bit infuriating that the press, you know, which is probably owned by the 1%, have found such an inane thing to complain about that we don't have a demand yet. The issue is that we're creating a new democracy here from the bottom up. And if the stakeholders, which is the 99%, aren't all enlisted yet, even though they're automatically a part of it, and they're not involved in the decision-making process, how can we have, like, how can we state in a clear way, in a final way, what the demands are? We have to all decide that together. And obviously, it's something to do with economics. It has to do with the fact that our government has been bought by corporations and by the moneyed interests, and all the money is trickling up to the top against the laws of gravity. These are the things that are concerning people. You know, the lack of jobs, the lack of a healthcare system that's functioning, even though, you know, we're the richest country in the world. We have the 13th or 17th, I forget the number, worst or best healthcare system on the planet. It's ridiculous.
And so we've been talking a lot about jobs today, and of course, healthcare is all wrapped around that, because if you're not working, you can't afford healthcare. That's just the way that we're set up here. But what are some of the, I kind of get the feeling that there are individuals that have certain pieces of this that they feel very passionate about. And so we're getting groups of people together that have different perspectives on how to solve some of these problems. What are some of the good ideas that you've heard down there in relation to getting folks back to work?
In terms of getting people back to work, you know, good question. I'm not sure that I have heard that being talked about too much down there. I'm mostly doing organizing. I'm talking with the mayor's office. I'm trying to get us some sort of form of democracy going on there. I think we're looking at the meta problems, the core problems, the root problems that would create a democracy. And if we had a real democracy where everyone was, you know, everyone on the, in the country was had a voice, there would be all kinds of great ways to get people back to work. And I think we'd probably do most of them, because if you don't have a job and you're not making enough money to support yourself and your family, you're in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a genius, or I'm not even well versed on back to work programs or how the government should change for that. Although I thought FDR did a good job. That was my personal. Let's do something like that, which Obama didn't do. But I'm not really, very wise about that kind of policy stuff. I'm more of an organizer of decision making processes and democracy formation.
So what it sounds like, then what's happening is that, I don't want to take words out of your mouth. So this isn't about we're protesting raising taxes, or we're protesting, you know, not extending unemployment benefits. It sounds like what's going on down there is really at the root of changing the way that we view our democracy, or the way that we, I guess, participate in and functionalize our democracy. Is that more accurate?
Yeah, I think both those things are of concern. You know, we're not happy that the rich aren't paying their fair share of taxes, and the poor and the middle class especially are paying lots of taxes. And we're upset that there's not adequate jobs available to everybody. But what I think is really going on is sort of the 99% version of the Tea Party, what the Tea Party was supposed to be, even though actually they were just being, you know, supported by the Koch brothers, bought off by the 1% or paid by the 1% to look visibly mad at America. This movement is about people who feel like they need to be a part. They need to have a voice. You know, when I was in third grade, I thought one person, one vote. And so everyone had equal power in America. And my parents let me believe that. And it took me a while to realize that that isn't what's going on at all. Because, you know, in my house, you know, if you had a complaint about something, you know, you got listened to. And you didn't, you know, there was no throwaway people. In America, there's way too many throwaway people. And we're responsible for throwing away two-thirds of the people on the planet who are dying of poverty before the age of 40 because of U.S.-based unbridled capitalism. I don't have a problem with capitalism, but you let it go, and it's like a wild horse, you know, it'll just kick everything to hell.
It does seem to me that there's a big check and balance here that isn't happening. And you mentioned the Tea Party, because it was interesting, because any study of anybody who studies politics throughout the history of our civilizations knows that when it tips too far to one end, you got to have it on the other end to balance out. And so even if there's nothing sustainable about what's happening in Occupy Seattle for the rest, at least at a minimum, it's balancing the scale enough for us to kind of gain our balance and gain our composure and be able to kind of find something that works for the majority.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are looking for a system of government in which they, if something's going really, really bad, they can say, hey, wait, no, I don't consent to that. So we use consensus decision-making process and what I call sociocracy decision-making process and the GA, the General Assembly decision-making processes that are all about everybody's voices being heard and counting and becoming a part, you know, so everyone's participating in the democracy. And if you do that, if you listen to everybody, then you don't have terrorists. You don't have, you know, crime. You don't have, you know, you have insanity, of course, but you have a lot less of it. I mean, I really invite people to come down. And even though right now it's kind of a little bit of a young person's, kind of street person's, homeless person's movement a little bit, I mean, that's really changing. I mean, that those people are always going to be there. But more and more people with jobs are getting down there, especially on the weekends and after five. This is everybody's movement, and everybody's voice is going to be heard. And more professional organizers and professionals and moms, kids are coming down, and it almost feels like coming home. I got there the very first 10 minutes, I thought, and a lot of other people who are activists who have been working on these things since we were kids in the 60s are kind of going, oh, my God, it's happening. It's happening. This country is waking up. The world is waking up. We're taking it back, and not with, like, I'm going to get those rich people, but no, we want justice for everybody. We care about everybody. It's a nonviolent movement. It's a movement of compassion. It's a movement of fairness. It's a movement of wanting even the hyper rich to be happier. Because do you really want to be a person with 17 yachts who can't go anywhere for fear of being kidnapped? And your kids are still just as vulnerable to cancer, free floating carcinogens in the air and water. I mean, nobody, that's not making anybody happy to be a killer. Of 2/3 of the people on the planet because they can't get a hold of this economic system and turn it around is taking us all off a cliff. I mean, that's not joyful. That right. doesn't help. Dick Cheney's not a happy man.
Well, that's probably one way of looking at it. So, you know, what I'm interested in is, and I haven't been down there, Tim, and I'm going to take up your challenge. I'm going to go down there. If anything, I just want to see what this is all about. I want to experience it in action because it's something. Whatever it is, it's something. I'd like to experience it. But
it's
tell me,
a miracle.
I'm looking forward to it. You talk it up. You talk it up really well, my friend. But there's all this when you first form organizations. There's the storming, norming, performing. You know, thing that goes with it. Where yeah. are you guys down there? Are
storming.
You still storming?
Storming. Especially because we're outside and the weather's not that great. But we're moving towards norming. When I first, the GA is sort of everybody's new love. You know, we're all in love with the GA. But the GA was kind of like, you know, when you have your first date with a woman and she cancels it, and then she hates you for a week. I mean, you just want to die. It was horrible. It was a nightmare. And it's getting better and better. And, of course, you can't have a direct democracy for all, because we have to self-govern the whole planet. I mean, let's be sensible about this.
Right.
You can't have a stand up and, you know, make hand signals for everybody. So that's why we're doing sociocracy too. Or what, maybe the movement's not doing sociocracy. I'm doing sociocracy. I'm trying to convince them to do it. But they're moving
right.
They're getting there quickly. But the GA thing is really pretty, we're starting to get there. If we could move it inside when the weather was bad and if we took enough time to do it right. But even when it's done badly, it's kind of wildly cool. It's just so interesting how we can make decisions together with everybody's voice being heard. And there was a total catastrophe last night, you know, because we're just learning this whole thing. But we were trying to decide whether or not to send the mayor a set of demands that he was asking us for so we would move off of the what's it called, Westlake Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of, frankly, we wanted to get out of there anyway because it was so cold.
Right.
And there were so many angry schizophrenic street people that we weren't allowed to deal with, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they needed therapeutic restraint half the time, and you know, we were giving out insulin, which we're not going to stop doing, but you know, food, it was kind of becoming a new homeless project, which we're still totally going to continue to do, but we really needed a place that was where we could get indoors. And so anyway, the mayor was saying, make us a proposal, and in exchange we'll give you those things, or at least a lot of them, and in exchange you won't spend the night anymore on Westlake Plaza.
Gotcha.
And we were debating that whole thing, and it was a mess.
Wow.
And we had to do it in a hurry because we, you know, our meeting didn't start till 6:30, and he wanted to know by 8 or 8:30. And but it was kind of storming. But the norms are coming. You know, we're learning the little hand signals and learning that if you ignore the minority, which we did last night, or push through because we were in a hurry, they'll get back at us.
Right.
Because I was one of the people who thought, you know, we have to make this a middle class movement, and we have to, you know, we have to move to City Hall, and then take the whole city eventually. But we can give up Westlake Plaza because it's not a big prize anyway, and it's also breaking the law, and it was embarrassing the mayor, and the police and the mayor were really struggling on how to deal with it. So, but you know, it was a lesson in democracy.
You know, and what I'm reading, and I don't want to bash anything, but it sounds like the mayor is trying. I mean, I think of what happened in, if this would have happened in Wisconsin with the governor in Wisconsin, you may have had something completely different. So I do want to prop the mayor for, it sounds like he's trying, and he is in a really awkward spot he probably didn't anticipate being in his term.
I got to tell you, I'm a straight male, and I am in love with our mayor. I look in his eyes, and I just believe him. I think he really cares about this movement. I would get out and I've never even thought about him before this. I'd never met him. I'd never read a word that he'd written, but he came. I've been in his office once and working with one of his aides, Michelle Scolari. I may have mispronounced her name, Scolari, and she's a wonderful, smart, quick, caring person. And they're in, they have to obey, they have to uphold the law.
Right.
But they are, I think they're doing everything in their power to make this wonderful for the world.
It might be a little exciting for him too. I mean, these are the things that where you put your mark on the map, right?
Well, I hope so. I hope that's his goal. I hope he wants to get out in front of this movement and enable it and be the first mayor to turn a major American city into an occupied city, occupied by nonviolent democracy.
If any place can do it, it can happen here in Seattle.
I felt that ever since I moved here 4 years ago. I thought this is a city that really wants to wake up and be out in front of a smart world.
Well, I have one more question for you, Tim, and I know you have to go, and I want to thank you for giving us the time, and I know you're doing a million different things, so I'm very thankful and humble and thankful that you came on the show with us today. But so there's a lot of us that have jobs that we have to go to. We've got families. We want to support, but we can't, you know, stay the night on Westlake Center. What are some of the things that we can be doing? I mean, I'm looking at the Facebook page, and I mean, I'm encouraging. I'm you know, even kind of jumping in there sometimes. But I wonder if that's really helpful or not. What is helpful, or what can folks like me do?
Well, just
to get
so
more
you know,
educated?
We're not spending the night at Westlake Center since Westlake Plaza anymore, because unless you want to get arrested, which is fine, we totally love getting arrested. And we encourage that.
You get a warm bed if you get arrested, don't you?
No, they don't keep us overnight. They didn't even charge us. I don't think they even wrote the names down of the people who got arrested. So you can figure out whose side the police are on there. I mean, I think even the police are in the 99%, right? I personally love a lot of the police down there. They've been really nice. You can come to Westlake during the day. Right now, there's, I don't know, a whole bunch of college students there that walked out of the University of Washington and Seattle Community College. And you can come to the City Hall during the night. The mayor has opened up the first floor for us to work in all night long. So it's warm and it's beautiful, and there'll be computers, I'm sure, and people will probably be sleeping, sort of snoozing. I don't know if he's going to let us sleep in sleeping bags there inside or not, but you can put up a tent anywhere around the city. There's several places. There's plenty of room for tents. We're going to have food. I haven't paid for a meal since I started this thing, since I got involved in this thing 12 days ago, which it started before that.
Wow.
There's lots of great food. You can send food. You can come down. You can work in one of the food tents, either in Westlake or at City Hall. You can send money? Please send money. We have all that set up now.
Where does somebody go to get more information, Tim?
It's all over Facebook. The main page, OccupySeattle.org, lags a little bit behind, but there's tons of information there. You can get involved in like 7 or 8 Facebook working pages where people stay at home and work. If you came down and met some people, got into one of the working groups, and we have a working group for almost everything, you can get involved. I stayed home today because I was exhausted. My voice is not usually this low because I've been out too much. And I think I did more at home sitting, you know, in bed on my computer answering phone calls and organizing the rally that's happening right now, which I'm not even going to make it to because I had to go to work. so I did a lot. And there, one of the other organizers, I talked to him like 5 times, and then he told me that he was in bed too. So there's a lot you can do. I mean, we just get tired staying up. I only spent one night, but I was there till 2 or 3 in the morning, many, many nights. And I pop up out of, you know, when your nation, when your culture is finally waking up, you can't sleep either. I just wake up automatically, even though I've only gotten 4 hours.
We call that in psychology intrinsic motivation. When what you want to do and what you should do are in alignment, there is no block. There is no obstacle. And sometimes sleep is the only obstacle that you have.
I quit drinking coffee. I quit watching TV. I'm over my heartbreak because my girlfriend and I are struggling. My life feels so much better.
Oh, well, thank you, Tim, again for coming on the show, and thank you for what you're doing down there. We really appreciate you, and we'll post your information on our Walk the Talk with Kim page. You know, regardless of what side you fall on at this point in time, get yourself educated about what's going on down there. I think you might find that there's somebody speaking for you. And I think that's what's beautiful about the movement is there are people speaking on behalf, and we're not alone. So thank you so much, Tim. I'm going to let you go.
Kim, we need you. Come on down. You can run the live feed. It's super fun.
Oh, I might do that. I wonder if Eric will go with me or not.
Yeah, bring a computer and we'll give you the links.
Oh, that sounds fun. Thank you so much, Tim. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break. We went a little long, but we had Tim for a limited amount of time, so we wanted to make sure that we got his voice in there. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org. Or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we were talking about jobs today, and it sounds like we're talking about something a lot bigger. It's an exciting time to be alive now, and there is hope, and you know what? People care. So, Christy, were you around? I hate to date you because you're just so youthful and young-looking, but do you remember the 60s at all?
Yes. I'm 58.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was up at Western. There's actually a picture of me sitting in the middle of a road downtown blocking traffic to protest the Vietnam War.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
So how does this feel for you?
I'm excited. I think I hope that it is, you know, I share Tim's excitement of we're finally waking up to take responsibility for our democracy. You know, I think that's really, I think, at the core of our democracy requires vigilance and interaction. You know, it requires our attention, and we have been asleep at the switch, allowing interests that were going off in a different direction, best interest.
At one point in time, most of us were benefiting from it. I mean, regardless of whether you understand finances or not, we all had our homes mm-hmm. and our great mortgages, and we can buy TVs, and prices were low.
And we have gasoline, and we have
food,
mm-hmm. and we, you know, have resources from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, when my husband and I did our honeymoon down in Ecuador, we met the people directly who our consumption is affecting. Mm-hmm. The people out in the Amazon who have their homes are polluted because of the extraction of, the petroleum
resources.
And the resources and the. So to see people who are affected by our actions was really impactful to us, and to come home and say, okay, what can we do? And then meeting people who were involved in transitions that were, okay, this is the what. Mm-hmm. You know, we organize mm-hmm. as a community, and we build our own sustainability. We build it here. And it's hard to imagine us weaned from fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? I mean, how do we get into Seattle?
Right.
You know, we're going to paddle or pedal, and we're thinking about it. But it's raining.
You know, I learned something today. You eat an elephant one bite at a time. And so it's not going to change overnight.
Right.
And I think that the first step, though, the first start is exactly kind of to bring this right back around as we come to the end of the show, is it's about your next door neighbor.
Yes.
When it really comes down to it, it's about your immediate family. It's about your friends. It's about your community. It's about the people that can share their gardening space with you. It's about the people that can give you a ride to the job fair. It's about the people that have a little extra to give to you, and you have a little extra to give to somebody else. It's all about paying it forward. And it's so simple,
right.
But we have not really grown up in that environment for the last 30 years.
Right. Our values have been pull yourself up by your own bootstraps
right.
and do it yourself, be independent. And where has it gotten us?
Mm-hmm.
We are disconnected mm-hmm. and it's hard to live that way.
It is. So again, job fair is on November 5th, 2011. 8:30 to 3:30 p.m. at Chief Canaan Middle School in Falls City, Washington, with keynote speaker David Corton. And there's going to be food available for you. There's going to be work sources going to be there, all kinds of resources. If you're looking for work, if you're underemployed, because that's as big a problem, too. There's a lot mm-hmm. of people out there that aren't making ends meet, even though they're working multiple jobs. Bring yourself down, get educated, get connected. We all want to help you, and we want to help each other, because I know if I help you, you'll help me, and vice versa. It's going to be live music. Bring your kids. There's children's activities for ages 3 and up. And so come on down, go to newlivelihoods.net and join up for the fun. And if you have resources that you can donate and give us, we'd love to hear from you as well. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. The show today was brought by Pearson Law. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson promise. Ryan, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And Christy, as usual, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Kim.
And we will be talking soon again, I'm sure.
And thanks for helping us out.
Of course. I'm in it, too. We're all in this
we're
together.
We're all in this together.
It's all in this together. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And everybody have a beautiful day, and thank you for listening. It's a beautiful-